Turn to Exodus chapter 25. This morning, I'm just going to give you the introduction to a message, if that's all right. But my introductions can be kind of long. So, Exodus chapter 25 and verse 31. I don't know why, as much as I have studied the Word of God and even on the tabernacle in recent days while praying and seeking the Lord about this next piece of furniture, I saw something in the Word of God. Now, there's nothing new under the sun. I'm not about to get up here and tell you this is new. God knew it all before we ever realized it. It's just, it's new to us. God shows us things at certain times. Some of you may have realized this many, many years ago, but I didn't. And even though that I've read the Bible time and time again, I don't know why it did not click with me. I did not see it. But in this study, God challenged my heart about something, and I'm going to share it with you today if God will allow us. And just be patient for just a few moments. We look in the Word of God together. And Exodus chapter 25 and verse 31. "And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made, his shaft and his branches, his bowls and his knops." Knops is just a word for an ornamental knob. "His knops and his flowers shall be of the same." Let's just take that first part. "And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold." And I promise you, I'll stop right there. Now, out of the pieces of furniture that we've studied so far, probably this golden candlestick shows us a nature to Christ in a different way from all the other pieces. First of all, it's one of the first pieces that we read about. You know, all the other pieces, we use phrases like, it was wood that was covered with gold. But now here we are with a piece that is pure gold. The whole candlestick, the golden lampstand in the house of God, is pure gold. All the way through gold. But yet, even though it's pure gold, it had to be maintained by the priest. It had to have the wicks trimmed. They had to dress the lamps. It was part of their morning and evening ritual that they would go in and dress the lamps. But it was the most elaborate piece of all the pieces of furniture in the house of God up to this place, in the meeting place. Now remember, this is all leading us to the meeting place where we meet with God in His presence. And here we now have the most elaborate, which is the most expensive and the most beautiful piece yet, because it's pure gold, the purest gold that they could find, telling us this is all about the deity of Christ, the nature of Christ. No longer do we see in this item anything dealing with the fact that He was God manifest in the flesh. Suddenly He is all God. This is something relating to us in His supernatural, deified state, telling us about the work of Christ being pure, having the power of God, God manifest in the flesh. Notice that even though it was pure gold, we have no idea how big that it was. There's no dimension to it. Do you know why? The beauty of the Lord, there's no dimension to how beautiful that God is. There is no limit to the power of God. Here we see Christ as God with all power and all deity. See, that's the problem that we face in the society that we live in today. Man is constantly trying to humanize Jesus. And while He was in the flesh, don't forget He was still God. And He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus can do anything. He has power to do all things according to His Word. So here we see Him in the beauty of His holiness, the beauty of His perfection. He is elaborate. Do you know, the Lord will change in your mind and in your heart when you start to see how beautiful that He is. We know that there was a time when He was marred and His visage was marred so that never a man looked like He looked. There was no beauty in that we should desire Him. But then suddenly we come to Him and we love Him. And the more we love Him, the more beautiful He gets. And the more we understand how elaborate that He is. And how God is pure in all things even in the things that we thought wasn't for our good. We see the purity of Christ in all of it. And it's without limits. His love, His beauty goes on and on and on. So it tells us a lot about the fact that here we are now dealing with something that is telling us God is unlimited. We place limits on everything, but God has no limits. And really, the importance of this, and I want to get to this. I don't know. I hope I can tell you what's on my heart. Sometimes it's all here and it's all here, and maybe I'm not clear getting it out. But this is a process that we're going through. You have inside the fence the outer court and the inner court. And then in the inner court is divided. There is a holy place, which is the most holy place referred to by some writers. But then there is something that, just for ease in our understanding, I talked about the veil that was the width of a man's hand. Brian mentioned it today already when he prayed. But that veil separated the holiest of holies from the most holy place. Now, there were no windows inside the holy place. And there were no windows inside the holiest of holies. The veil was so thick you couldn't see through it. Very little could you hear through it. The hearing was even dull. And they would wait oftentimes. They could hear certain things. You know, the high priest had bells in the hem of his garment. And when the sacrifice was accepted, they knew as they heard the ringing of the bells as he came out that the sacrifice had been accepted and the offering had been given and it was finished. They could hear just certain sounds. But yet they couldn't see what was happening there beyond the veil, on the mercy seat. They couldn't see any of that. Now, there's three levels of light involved in the tabernacle. The outer court, there was daylight. Everybody could see in the daylight. In the inner court, in the holy place, there was candlelight. But there was no candle in the holiest of holies. How did they see? Divine light. Daylight is natural light. It's the light that you have when you leave this place. The daylight is there. We all enjoy it. We know the separation of day and night, and we walk in daylight, and the daylight is there. Everyone, saved, sinner, saint, doesn't matter. We can all enjoy the daylight. Only priest could enjoy the candlelight. The daylight was natural light. The candlelight was spiritual light. What we have a picture of here is the Word that Jesus was. But even though the Word was there, and we know the Bible teaches that He was the Word made flesh and that dwelt among us. But even though He is the Word, you hold in your hands today the Word of God. And that is spiritual light. But even though it's spiritual light, the priest still had to work to have that light. They weren't that light, but they had to trim the lamps. They had to replace the wicks. They had to do certain things. If you think you're just going to get saved and all of a sudden you understand everything in the Bible, you're wrong. I'm sorry, you're wrong. I've been studying it for all of these years, and the more I study it, the more I realize the less that I know. But there is a spiritual light that sometimes I'm reading the Word of God, just like with this. I'm reading the Word of God the other day, and when I go into the pages of God's Word, I'll say, well, I'll be, that was there all that time. Why didn't I see that? Because you've got to keep looking for it. You pray for understanding. At the entrance, the psalmist said, at the entrance of thy words are light and understanding. There's some things that you don't understand, and the light switch is not turned on until you get this inside of you. But then there is a divine light. Even though the high priest would enter in behind the veil, he had to be able to see. There's no candlelight there. Glory to God. There's no daylight there, but yet here he is bringing the blood to the mercy seat. There had to be some kind of light there for him to see. And there was a light. It's called divine light. Now with the divine light, he didn't have to do one thing to get that light. That is the very nature of God. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. The Bible says Jesus is the light of men, and the life of men is the light that shines within us. And this is the condemnation, that light has gone into darkness and darkness comprehended it not. There is a light that comes from God that shines down, and it only illuminates from God. It has no other source except God. It is because it is God. God is not only love, but God is light. I won't keep you long, but I got to show you this. You think this is something strange? Go with me back to Genesis 1:1. Open your Bibles. I want you to see this. I want you to read this. Genesis 1:1. While you're turning there, I'll give you the first part. You know it anyway. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. No, we didn't come from apes. Might have had a few relatives swung by the neck, but I never had one swung by the tail. God created them. I don't care what your science teacher tells you. I don't care what anybody else said. You say, well, you're very confident you're right. You wait until one day the great minds of this world have to bow down and accept the fact man had nothing to do with this. This is all God's idea. God created it all. And God's responsible for all of it. He is the one that made all of this beauty that we enjoy. And the reason they want to change that is because that takes away our worship from understanding God made it all. Then in verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, what's the next phrase? Let there be light. And there was what? God said, let there be light. The Bible goes on to say, and God called the light day and the darkness night. So now we have night and day. The darkness is separate from the light, and the light from the darkness. And the evening and the morning were what? First day. So on day one, what did God create? Light. Day one, God created light. Are we in agreement on that? Have to have light. You can't have life without light. So there was light. Some of you are looking at me strange. Well, let's go on down. You read next, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. So on the second day, God divided the firmament. Then when you get down to verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. And the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw it was good. You know what he's doing? Praising himself. You know what? God wants you to praise him, but if you don't praise him, he'll praise himself. Don't think that he's relying on you or me for anything. God said it's good. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit, yet tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw it was good. And the evening and the morning were the what? Third day. So now we have day three. Day three, we have the dry land gathered together, the herbs, the trees. Are we in agreement on that? Look at the next phrase, verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day. What is the greater light that rules the day? The sun. And the lesser light to rule the night. What's that lesser light? The moon. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the what? Fourth day. You didn't get it, did you? Day one, what did God make? When did he make the sun? Fourth day. When did he make the moon? Fourth day. What lit this world for 3 days? The light. What light? The Lord is my light and my salvation. For 3 days, this world was lit by the Word of God, which was a light, a divine light. You know what God is saying? You've gone your whole life thinking that the sun is the source of light and the moon is the source of light. God said there was a light before there was ever a sun and there was ever a moon. He said, I am the source of all light. All light comes from me. And he said, on the very authority of my word, I didn't need a sun. I didn't need a moon. God said, I spoke it, and there was light. Amen. Why do we look at the things that appear and say that's God's creation when God says, you don't understand my light? You don't have to have anything appear. When you get to that holiest of holiest, the very glory of God lights everything that is there. God says, don't worry about it. You don't need a candlestick when you get in my presence. I am light, and in me there is no darkness. God says, I'm not dependent on anything. I am the source of all things. I am the source of light. God said, I don't need a sun. I don't need a moon. My glory is lighting up. And you're waiting on the sun. When God said, what are you waiting on? I spoke it already. It is because I said it is. And you don't have to see it for it to be there. It is whether you see it or not. I am saved because he said I'm saved. I don't have to wait to see my name in the book of life to know it. I am saved because he said I'm saved. I am blessed because he said I'm blessed. You look at the source of things around you, you'd have to agree that within you there's no good thing and that you could never be anything of yourself. And here you sit this morning enjoying the blessings of God, and the only reason you can claim those blessings of God is because God said it, and it's light inside of you, even if it's not appeared to everybody else. It's light inside of you. God said, you don't have to have the sun to have life. I am the light. I am healed because he said I'm healed. I am happy because he said I am happy. I have joy because he said I have joy. Oh, glory to God. We are in a place today where if we can ever grasp the fact, don't wait on any other source. Let God be the source of the light of your life. And that's why you're going to be in a mess when you get to heaven. Because right now somebody says, well, I believe God. See, God turned the light on. And when the light comes on, God turns the light on so we can see things that we could not see before. To allow us to go places where we could not go to before. To allow us to do things that we could not do before. To allow us to receive things that we could not receive before. Some of you are waiting on conviction to fall on your families instead of saying, Lord, just turn the light on. If you turn the light on inside of my heart and give me a confirmation that you're going to deal with my wayward loved ones and save their soul, I will walk in the light. I don't have to see the evidence of one thing to know that you're God and you will always do exactly what you said you would do. Somebody says, I'm healed. And everybody sits around waiting for the evidence. Waiting for the sign. Can I ask you something? Have you ever taken time? If you think this is way off base, have you ever taken time to really look closely at Revelation 22? Revelation 22:5, you know it. You probably know it by heart. The Word of God says, and there shall be no night there. Talking about heaven. And they need no candle. Neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light. What kind of light will we live in heaven? The same kind of light that was here when God made it on the first day and said, let there be light. The light of His Word. When we walk in the light of His... Why is that so important? Because if God is likened unto anything else, we would be without hope. But since He is light, light occupies... When light is somewhere, it occupies all space, all time. The light in a room is light in the room, everywhere in the room. Speed of light travels at 186,000 miles per second. Per second. This earth is a little under 25,000 miles around the equator. Do you know what that means? If you come today and say, God, help me! He's already been around the earth 7.5 times before He ever gets to you. He travels at the speed of light. Oh, you think Superman's something. They talk about Him being faster than a speeding bullet. Our God is faster than speeding light. Oh, God says where there is darkness, when you cry out to me faster than you can bat your eye, I'm there to light up your heart, light up your home, light up your soul. He said, I am the one that said, let there be light, and there was light. You know where we get in trouble? We try to find another source. He is the source of everything I will ever need in time and eternity. He is the source of it all. Right now, we're living at that place where the priest were dwelling. We're trimming the lamp. That's why we study His Word. We're putting the wicks in to keep the fire going. Because just as Abraham walked through the sacrifice with a burning lamp, so we need God's Word to be a burning lamp to us. We're at a place where that we need to do our part to have spiritual understanding. But there's also another light that when God turns it on, it's a divine light. I don't know what place of darkness you're in your life. I don't know what has overcome you, what has engulfed you and drug you down. But I know a source of light. And in Him there is no darkness. Hallelujah. And we're going to that place where we'll be in His presence forever. No sun, no moon, no candlestick. All light. And light forever. You say, well, if it don't get dark, how will we sleep? We'll never get tired. Glory to God. There is light in Him. What problem in your life is so dark? What thing in your life has you at the place where that you feel like I can't go on? Plain and simple. If He said you could have it, you can have it.